Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you so very much for calling in. I tell you what, and for listening, I'm just having such a good time. By the way, my little son boy, Mr. James Edwards, by the way, his daughter, Miss Little Izzy, just got back from summer camp. I was going to ask James today, did they get to go swimming? My wife follows stuff on Facebook, and I hardly ever look at it. But I was wondering if little Izzy got to go in her first Bible camp. I wonder if they got to go in the woods and go swimming and stuff like that. I never got to do it. So I hope she did. But anyway, he also said that general, that Yankee general, that General Forrest's brother put the scare in. He ran down an alley. James said that the marker is still there. They call it Washburn's Escape Alley because it was General Washburn. So I've seen that marker, but I don't go downtown as much as I used to because I tell you, it is some kind of rough down there, man. I still do, but discretion is a better power of valor. Anyway, folks, we got Jason Robb getting ready to come on. He's getting ready to call in if he had already called in. He's going to, he'll have some questions for Gene. And also, I've got some questions for Gene while we wait on Jason. But anyway, Gene, that's a fabulous lesson. And one thing that impresses me, I know we were, and you probably remember, we were at the political cesspool, I call it the family reunion back. It must have been, I'll tell you what it was. It was when I first ran my first New York marathon. I marked periods in time, like marathons and stuff. It was back in 2014, I believe.
Yeah.
And there was a Marine colonel there, and he gave some kind of presentation. And he said that amateurs study tactics, but professionals study logistics. Well, evidently, it looks like General Forrest knew them both because he knew, and you made it plain in your presentation, that you got this gigantic army. I mean, my God, 100,000 people. I mean, I don't know if the Confederates, that's probably half of what the Confederates ever had in their whole army. But they had that one army. I mean, those guys have to eat, man. And like you said, those horses have to eat. He knew. My God, I mean, you cut their supply line. I mean, they're going to starve to death if they can't walk the heck out of there. But and also, I'd like to address our naysayers because I'm in my heart, my common sense tells me that we are again headed for a horrible battle here in our United States of America because our enemy, the communists, the Luciferian Bolshevik communists that have captured Washington, D.C., that beast, I call it the Great Satan. That's one thing that the Muslims are right about. They call the United States government the Great Satan. And like Gene has pointed out before, what the United States government does best, they invade innocent people. Sovereign people, and they love to invade people that can't take up from themselves. But here's the saving grace. I've had so many people say, "Oh, it'll be useless, hopeless to fight the Leviathan. We know they have bombers, they have this, they have that." Well, you know what? General Forrest took on an enemy 10, 20, 30 times the size and wore their butt out. I also like to point out. You say, oh, well, they don't have artillery and planes and stuff like that in those days. Well, you know what? In the Battle of Croatian Independence in 91 to 94, they had all that stuff. The communist Luciferian Bolsheviks had it, but General Nick Glasnevik, they didn't have any of that stuff. It kind of reminds me of General Forrest. They had, and General Nick has said, Gene, he said that they used regular hunting rifles, like we'd say, 30-30s,
sure.
308s, 30-06s, and it took them 4 years, but they kicked the living hell out of those communists. I mean, they raided their own friggin' National Guard Army to us. They invaded the guys in the National Guard armies, caught them sitting down, and just like Forrest, took their weapons from them, and they wore them out, and they won their Croatian independence with just a fraction of the manpower, a fraction of the logistics and supplies that the communists had. So, people, don't tell me it can't be done, because General Forrest, I mean, God bless his heart, I doubt if there's ever been anybody, Gene, that could surpass him in overall military tactics and knowledge. But we're waiting up.
The common sense that he had, you know, he armed his men with the weapons of the enemy. So when he ran out of ammunition, he knew where to go to get resupplied ammunition. He just took it from the enemy, and they brought it to him.
You know, that I thought that was so funny. That I know it's kind of a stretch, I guess, but I remember when I was a young guy, I was before I started running marathons, but we saw a movie called Bonnie and Clyde. And it came out, I don't remember when that movie came out, back in the 60s.
Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway. Yeah.
Oh, there you go, Mr. Memory. Well, you know, Warren Beatty, the guy, Clyde, wrote a letter, he actually did, to Henry Ford. Telling him, man, this Ford, I guess it was, I don't know what model it was, and it might be a Model A, but I think that was one of the first cars that would go 60 miles an hour, you know, it had that old Ford flathead V8. He said, oh, this is the greatest car ever, man. You know, I can outrun the cops, no problem. This thing is run like a stripe. He said, you're a genius, man. Keep up the good work, Henry. And but it was thumping his nose at the feds, you know, that chased him. He just ran circles around, they used one of his friends and ambushed him.
But talking about, they had the bombers and they had this and they had that. You know, Senile Joe, our president that stole the election, was talking about, you know, the Second Amendment and, you know, how it didn't really amount to anything. And you know, people were saying that the Second Amendment is not for hunting Bambi. It's for defending ourselves from the federal government. And Senile Joe tells, well, they don't have the F-15 fighters and they don't have the Abram tanks. Well, the Americans had the F-15s, they had the Abram tanks, they had every kind of modern equipment, drones, and everything they needed in Afghanistan. And who's packing up and leaving Afghanistan right now?
So you got that right.
It's not necessary to have all this modern technology. I think the Afghans said, yeah, the Americans have the digital watches, but we've got the time. And that's, you know, the same thing in Vietnam. That North Vietnamese did have fighter planes. Most of them, then, when they went after the American Air Force and Marine pilots, Navy pilots, they got shot down. But very seldom did they use heavy armor until right at the end of the war when they were coming into Saigon. But they knew how to fight a war with the equipment that they had and just drag this thing on and on and on and on, until the U.S. government and the American population got tired of it and just bailed out on it. And if Senile Joe and Kamala Harris and the rest of them want to try to use force to coerce the states, they're going to run into a real problem with people, that it may not be organized resistance from one central command post in Montgomery or Richmond or Helena, Arkansas, or wherever, but there will be small guerrilla operations that will spring up all over the country, and they're going to have to fight thousands of these little brush fire wars, and that's something the United States military is not good at. They train, everything they look at is like conventional warfare across the plains of Eastern Europe, taking on the Soviets or whoever. And they don't have the idea or the willpower to fight these small guerrilla operations. And so, you know, who knows what's going to happen? I hope it never comes to that. But if it does, they're not as well equipped to fight that type of warfare as they think they are.
No, and you know, Gene, I don't consider myself being pessimistic, but just by what the enemy has said. The communists that have taken over, they've stolen our election. For instance, if you go on Facebook, if you try to go on Facebook, if you said one thing they don't like, they'll ban, you know, they can ban you, kick you off permanently from Facebook. Well, they're starting to do that with our cell phones now.
Yep.
And, you know, our phones, all of our cell phone, our technology was designed. Oh, you'll be shocked, Gene. I mean, you probably won't believe this because I know you're a good Southern Baptist. But anyway,
used to be.
It's not even the fact they've even changed her name now. I think it's probably the Martin Luther King Memorial, whorehouse. But anyway, they control all their these phones. I was listening to some news the other day, and I'm just giving, I can't remember every detail, but the phones, every phone we have, even the friggin' FBI got hacked by the Mossad. They our technology that our military intelligence gathers up, our politicians, our congressmen, our senators, all that information goes past the ears of these Jews in the Israeli Mossad. I was listening to this fellow. There was some kind of a trial going out in California recently because they had busted this big Jew Mossad spy raid. What a shocker.
That's a shocker.
Jews. Oh, man. Well, in the FBI, the friggin' Mossad was listening to everything the FBI had. The FBI is supposed to be so smart. But, that's who's running our stuff. But I think if we take them at heart, by they being the enemy that had just conquered stole our election and conquered us. We've been conquered by a communist government.
Yeah.
And I'll refer back to this fellow who called in, Gene. We played a clip about, I want to say 3 months ago. I'll talk about that clip as soon as we come back, and then we're trying to figure out what's keeping Jason. Be right back, folks. I want to see.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, welcome back, people. We're going into the second segment of the second hour, and we have the elusive Jason Robb on the line right now. Here's what it is. Liberty News Radio and Blood River Radio, we're expanding and growing. We have growing pains. How you get, like, your wisdom teeth have to be taken out sometimes. That's an analogy. But we've been going out of Florida for the last, off and on for several months. But tonight we had to go back to Utah. And Miss Bethany's running the show. And Miss Bethany just got out of high school, by the way. She's got a little sore throat. I'm hoping she gets better. But anyway, we have Jason Robb on the line. And he's been complimenting the show because, you know, the great job that Gene Andrews has done. So what we'll do is we will introduce Mr. Jason Robb like he needs an introduction, but he's my little spirit son from over Western Arkansas, around over there around Harrison. And he is the attorney. Go ahead. Give him a quick bio there before you go to Gene, Jason.
Okay, Eddie. Well, Jason Robb, I'm an attorney here in Harrison, Arkansas. I've been practicing for about 20 years, general counsel for the Knights Party. Pastor Thomas Robb, which most people are probably familiar with, he's the national director of the Knights, and based out of Harrison. And, we're involved in the pro-white movement. I've been involved in the Klan all our lives. We love what we do. We love to try and reach our people and spread the good news of white Christian revival, as my dad liked to say. And we're just happy every day to get up and try to be a witness to our people. And so it's an honor to be on the show here. And I've been loving listening to Gene Andrews for the last hour and a half talking about Nathan Bedford Forrest, who's a great Southern general and gentleman. And I've just really been enjoying it.
Well, thank you, Jason. Appreciate that, and it's an honor to finally get a chance to talk with you. And I've heard so much about you and the good work that y'all have done. And we have a mutual friend in Mr. Buddy there in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And I've been trying to contact you and hadn't been able to get through. You're a busy person, a hard fellow to get a hold of. So
If my head wasn't connected to my neck, I would not know where it's at.
I need to figure out how to do that then. That's why I'm so messed up all the time.
I want to say something that, you know, when Gene was talking about Nathan Bedford Forrest, you know, and how the other Confederate generals really weren't listening to him. We have a – it kind of brought me to remember that we have a article, an original article from – I think it's from the Arkansas Gazette. It was published around 1915, 1917, and it was titled The Man Who Could Have Saved the Lost Cause. And it was dedicated to Nathan Bedford Forrest, and it talked kind of similar to what Gene was talking about, just how – the brilliancy he was as far as military tactics, and how so many of the Confederate generals were a little bit jealous of him, of his brilliancy of, you know, strategy, and so a lot of times, you know, they, you know, did not listen to him because he did not go through the proper military schools and everything. And so they didn't figure that, you know, he knew what he was talking about. But basically this article kind of was saying the same thing, how if they would have listened to Nathan Bedford Forrest, how the result of the war would have been different.
Well, thank you, and I certainly agree with that. I want to reassure our listeners, I didn't plagiarize this from that 1915 article. But it just sort of hit me after reading all of these books and great authors like Dr. Mitchum and John White. That Devil Forrest is probably the classic biography of Forrest, or Andrew Nelson Lytle, who was one of the agrarians that wrote that book, Bedford Forrest and His Critter Company. Brigadier General John Scales, it's written a modern book on Forrest campaigns, and Lachlan Seabrook has had a number of books on Forrest. That same thing just kept popping up at me. You know, how many times did he tell these people what they needed to do, and they ignored him, and it wasn't a theory. He proved it could be done, and yet they just turned a blind eye to it. And yes, there is a lot of that prejudice, and I saw that in the military, of somebody that wasn't a graduate of the Naval Academy or West Point. You know, they called them ring thumpers, that they'd be thumping that ring that they had from West Point to let you know how much smarter they were than you were. And common sense didn't play any part of it, that they knew they had gone to the military school and they knew a whole lot more than you did, and why would you want to listen to somebody that hadn't gone through the same thing, the same training that these people had had? So there was a certain prejudice there, and it's continued down through the military to this day. And you look at some of the clowns that we've got that are head of our different branches of the service today and some of the idiotic things that they're coming up with. And don't tell me that the people at the top know exactly what they're doing. I think you pick a Lance Corporal from the Marine Corps or a Sergeant in the Army, I think they could do a much better job of running our military than what we've got at the top echelon of our military today.
Yeah, absolutely. In this article I was talking about, you know, I thought was interesting when it was talking about Nathan Bedford Forrest is it's amazing that, you know, we just a short time how newspapers on printed stuff like that, heralds of the South, heralds of our the Confederate generals and uplifted them. And to imagine to see an article now praising Nathan Bedford Forrest, obviously you would never see that. But back then,
never see it.
It was just a common thing.
Yeah, it was back then. I can even remember when I was in elementary school, we had a teacher, Mrs. Stewart, was from Georgia. This is the fourth grade, and she was a great musician. She could play the piano, and we'd always sing different songs, you know, Old Susanna and all the Stephen Foster songs and everything. But every time we had music in our class, the last song that we would sing, she would tell everybody to stand up, and she would play Dixie, and we would sing Dixie. There's no way they would even allow that in an elementary school, any kind of school today. Lord have mercy, they'd fire that teacher on the spot.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
and everybody sang just as loud as we could. We were so proud of that, and just belted it out up to
yeah.
the top
absolutely.
Of our voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that kind of goes back, you know, to, you know, basically population replacement. And when we have people that are not from our blood, not from our people, they have no desire to, you know, maintain the culture and the southern way of life or whatever, you know, a person may want to call it. But, you know, they have no desire to preserve that because it's not their heritage. It's not their culture. They're not their blood.
Well, you know, they could grab us by the scruff of the neck and haul us down to Mexico City, and, you know, that it might be nice and we might like eating Mexican food and so forth, but that's not our culture.
Right.
And so why would we go into Mexico City or Acapulco or Cancun or anywhere down there, Monterey, and start, as soon as we get there, start complaining about why they need to change their culture to match our culture?
Exactly.
Why don't you have a Starbucks on every corner? Well, they probably do now, but anyway, you know, that to me is just, it creates animosity and resentment and for anybody to come in there and start doing that.
Right.
And we resent it just as much as anybody else would that's gone in there.
Yeah.
I know when I was in Vietnam and they had this program of, you know, working with the Vietnamese and trying to help them build their own defensive positions around these villages and things like that. And it was talking about winning the hearts and minds of the people. And there were so many arrogant upper echelon officers over there that were so arrogant that they said, you know, grab them by their certain male parts and their hearts and minds will follow. Well, yeah, how did that work out, big shot? You know,
right.
The last images we had of Vietnam was a helicopter on top of the embassy and people hanging onto the skids as that helicopter was lifting off. So that arrogant attitude doesn't go very well. And people anywhere in the world resent that. And it's something the American upper echelon, the elitists, the globalists, or whatever you want to call them, it's something they've never learned. And they're using it against us, their fellow Americans, just like they used it for American imperialism in the Spanish-American War and getting us into World War I that we had no business getting into and all these other misadventures that we've taken on around the world. And you're exactly right there about, what are we going to do? We're the ones that have to pay the price on the battlefield.
We've got to go to a break.
Okay.
And we'll be right back. And you fellas will just keep on going. Like, you make my night easy, folks. Well, anyway, be right back, people. Got to go to one more break. Hold on to your seats.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernards. A U.S. Senate committee has approved legislation that would, if enacted, require young women to register for selective service alongside men and, in the rare event of a war or other national emergency, be drafted for the first time in the nation's history.
We are living in the 21st century where men and women are to be considered equal, then we have to be considered equal on all fronts.
If it was a draft that included young men and young women, that seems appropriate and fair.
I think that's fair. I do. I think women are being included in everything, and hopefully we don't end up in a situation where we ever need the draft again.
Several states scaled back their reporting of COVID-19 statistics this month, just as cases across the country started to skyrocket, depriving the public of real-time information on outbreaks, cases, hospitalizations, and deaths in their communities. This is USA Radio News.
The best companion a pillow has ever had. You've heard me talking about Mike Lindell's Giza Dreams bed sheets now for a couple of years. They're the perfect companion to the MyPillow, made with the world's best cotton called Giza, grown only in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. Its long staple cotton makes it ultra soft and breathable. And just like the MyPillow, there's a 60-day money-back guarantee, 10-year warranty. Try it for yourself. Mike Lindell and I promise you'll sleep better, or you get your money back. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Special, use my promo code USA. You'll get 2-for-1 pricing plus free shipping, but only by using my promo code USA. Or call 1-800-951-8175 and ask for the Giza Dream Sheets Special. And the promo code USA gets you up to 66% off the entire line of MyPillow products. Sleep better with the Giza Dreams bed sheets and save at MyPillow.com. Promo code USA.
Out-of-state crews headed to Montana Saturday to battle a blaze that injured 5 firefighters as the West struggled with a series of fires that have ravaged rural lands and destroyed homes. Progress was being made on the nation's largest blaze, the Bootleg Fire in Oregon, but additional mandatory evacuations were ordered Friday evening, and less than half of it had been contained, fire officials said. The growth of the sprawling fire had slowed, but increased fire activity was expected Saturday, and thousands of homes remained threatened on its eastern side, authorities said. Crews continue to battle to contain the Oregon wildfire. This is Marcus Kaufman, Public Information Officer for the Oregon Department of Forestry.
So right now we're at about 40% containment and over 400,000 acres. So in the last couple of days, the fire hasn't grown very much. It's grown like 1,000 acres in the last couple of days.
This is USA Radio News.
You, Miss Bethany. Well, people, dear Blood River Radio family, I just can't praise y'all enough. You know what? So far, y'all have kept us on the air. I never thought we'd stay on the air this long. I really didn't. I think I told James and Sam and Matt, some other people, I said, if we can stay on, we can keep Blood River on 1 year, I think we can say everything we need to say in a year, and then we can just let it go and start doing other stuff like running marathons. But, you know, I've got a couple of quick announcements to make. You know, I talked to Dr. Hill yesterday and today. Dr. Hill's legal team tried to get that suit that the League of the South is being sued. And originally, they were going to be able to have the lawsuit settled over the phone. I mean, that's kind of weird. But that's what they were going to do. And now, that's not going to happen. Dr. Hill said it looks like they're going to have to go to Charlottesville, back to Charlottesville, and October the 25th. That's Brenda's birthday, my wife's birthday. So I told her, well, you know, that's just the way things happen. We'll have to do her birthday either before or after. Because you know what? I'm supposed to be running the New York City Marathon for St. Jude November 7th. But you know what? If I'm still alive, unless I'm dead or something, I'm going to Dr. Hill's. I'll put it this way. I think other people will be there. But Dr. Hill and his chief of staff and great friend, brother, Michael Tubbs, they're both being sued.
So we've got to go back up there. That'll be, I don't know what day that'll be, you know, as far as a week. I don't, you know, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But we'll go up there and come hell or high water is what we're going to do. And I'm not going to start any trouble. I'm going up there as, just like we did last time in the first yard field with my little suit on, you know, the, you know, nice pants, some Cabela's, leather Cabela's shoes, which I left up there. I can't believe that. Best shoes I ever had in the home of life left up there at the compound in Charlottesville. Well, anyway, I want to let y'all know, be praying for Dr. Hill and Michael Tubbs and myself because I have to go, you know. And I'm not trying to be a hero. My wife said, well, you know, you don't need to be up there but be in jail. I said, but morally, how can I not go? How can I face myself? You know, how could I lay down and go to sleep and feel like a Christian man if I didn't go back with Dr. Hill? But anyway, that's one announcement, people. So be praying for us. And if anything changes, we'll let you know. Dr. Hill's supposed to be back on the show 2 or 3 weeks from today. He's really, really busy. Also, we have, like we said, we have Jason Robb on, and we're going to have the Knights Congress, and that'll be over Labor Day weekend. Jason, tell us a little bit about the Knights Congress coming up over Labor Day.
September 3rd, 4th, and 5th, which is Labor Day weekend. Usually starts around Friday, around 5, 6 o'clock. It's called, we have a meet and greet. And then we have the conference is all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And the cross-lighting Sunday evening at the conclusion. Throughout the whole weekend, it's a family event. We have a lot of families. We like to have it as a family retreat. We always tell people whenever you have an opportunity, you need to be around your racial brothers and sisters, because definitely during this time that we're living in, it can get very much discouraged to see what's happening around us. And we need to, and it's commanded in the Bible, to come together with your brothers and sisters. And that's how you gain strength. That's how you get ideas. But it's just to understand that there are other people in this country that have the love and desire for our people. And so, we some of the speakers we're having, obviously, Eddie, you're going to be one of our speakers, which we're really honored and blessed to have you there. And we're going to have my father, Thomas Robb's, going to be speaking. Steve Kukla, who's a person from Oklahoma. He's a Christian minister. And singer. We're going to have we just found out yesterday, Dr. Everett Ramsey is going to be there, Rachel Pendergraft, Tom Bowie, and then we have several other unit recruiters throughout the various states that will be there as well. It's a great event. It's in the Ozarks, and it's at the Christian Revival Center, and it's a private facility. It's on our grounds. It's private. It's not, don't have to be worried about it's going to be canceled or anything else like that. So we own the property. Nice family retreat. Facilities is nice, and it's a good time. Just be out in nature with your people and just kind of rekindled. And when you go back to your neighborhoods and different states that where you may have journeyed from, know, you'd be inspired, and hopefully, you know, it gets you to carry on to another year to, you know, fight for our people, fight for our race and our culture. Every day it's a battle, and we need to have that positive strength every day, because we all know it gets very negative when we see what is happening every single day. I mean, it's just absurd. Our homeland's being destroyed. People are confused of they're male or female, which is very easy to tell. Our Christian faith is being destroyed. But no, we have to understand that we have a God that is more powerful than the enemy. And so the theme of our conference is endurance. And we need to endure every day. We need to have that positive attitude to be faithful to our people, endurance. And so that's part of the theme for this year's conference.
You know, I'd like to add part of the theme, part of the my theme to that also. I hearken back to what's on our website. We had less than 500 white people, the Boer Trekkers, in South Africa, and on the banks of the Nkome River, which is nowadays is called the Blood River. And, you know, by all common sense. Nowadays, people would throw up their hands and say, oh, there's no way we've got like 480 men, and we're going against 30,000, 35,000 Zulus armed to the teeth. Contrary to what popular belief, some of those Zulus, they had rifles too. But, you know, the war trackers only had these single-shot muzzle-loading rifles. And listen, there was less than 500 war trackers fought and just annihilated a force, you know, what's that, 65 times their size. They were outnumbered like 65, 70 to one. And they didn't suffer one casualty. And please listen to me. You people out there that are not Christians, you don't believe in God. Well, let me tell you what they did. They didn't have Thompson submachine guns. They didn't have F-16 fighter bombers. What they had was faith. And they went before the battle. The Vortrekkers prayed to God. And they, to this day, I've read the prayer on the show several times. Maybe I'll read it next week. But they told God if he would please protect them from complete annihilation. They would establish, chapels, churches in that part of South Africa, and they would always remind their children of that day in the battle, that the day that God saved them. So people, don't come get in my face and tell me, oh, we're so outnumbered, we got to give up. It's just all hope is lost. What the hell with that? If you have a view of little faith. Anyways, that's that shows me, you know, we're up there and we're gonna kick the hell out of the devil. And I always tell my little spirit son, Jason, if I have to bring my own cross, I will. But anyway,
I do want to say, if people are interested, they don't have to be a member of the Klan or anything like that. It's open to, you know, obviously you have to be a white Christian. Bring your children. It's a family event. They can go to kkknationaloffice.com, kkknationaloffice.com, or they can call the national office at 870-427-3414. But it's a great event. It's a relaxing event. And, yes, you don't have to bring your own cross. A cross is provided. and we do have that. It's a nice ceremony on Sunday evening. The crickets are cricking at night, and it's out in the country. It's a nice ceremony, and people get inspired.
Yes, you know what, Jason, and I didn't even have to bring my own Klan Kool-Aid. Y'all still had ample supply of that. I'll explain what that is one these days to all our Yankee brethren. But you know, we have a lot of Yankee brethren that are more Southern at heart. Anyway, getting back up, I'm so glad you put that out there, Jason. I'm really looking forward to coming up there. It recharges your soul to be amongst your people that aren't afraid to permit the. You know, it's actually okay to be white. But you know, Gene, we were talking about these military things. You know, and Jason brought up about these people that can't tell what sex they are, and all these perverted freaks. Well, you know, just General Milley. He's bringing in all that. He's bringing in all this Marxist dribble. He's having critical race theory installed in the army. He was forcing
beating
these
the military
soldiers
over the head with that critical race theory. Yeah, and they're yes, more and concerned the LGBT with idiotic nonsense like that than having these troops ready to go out and face death on the battlefield and perform under the battlefield, so they don't come back here missing arms and legs and eyes and things like that. They're more concerned with critical race theory. And then who's that Secretary of Defense, Austin Powers or whatever his name is? He's right in there with it.
We got to go to one more break. Gene and Jason will be right back, and I'll come in on that, and we'll go right back to you guys.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, guys, unfortunately, this is our last segment. We're just gonna milk up for everything we got. This has been a wonderful show. You know, I did something today I would never do. If I didn't know I had two studs coming in, I went out and I got a real late start. I did right at a 13.5-14 mile run. I rode my bike to where I started the run, rode it back, and I got back not a lot of Christian time to get the computer fired up. There's no way in hell I'd have done that if I hadn't known Gene was coming on and Jason Robb was coming on, because I knew they could carry on. Even if I wasn't here, I would just call the Sam or Bethany and say, hey, just tell them to crank it up and go. But so I'm so thankful you guys are here, because it just makes my life so easy. I'm going to comment one more time to you guys, and then we'll go. Y'all take it, we'll finish this out. But this General Milley, going back to him again, that traitor, that sorry dog, you know, he's the one, and I think it was Defense Secretary Asper, I think Gene was talking about. They're the ones that committed treason. They committed mutiny and ordered the Army troops back to Fort Bragg, the 82nd, and they also disarmed. They left the National Guard there in Washington, but they disarmed them when they had about 1 million men, these howling mobs surrounding the White House. And you know what? The President Trump and his staff, they were in very, very real danger of being dragged out and hung. The fact that people were saying we're going to hang them. This is the same General Milley who's introducing all this perverted freak crap in. He's also forcing these soldiers, you know, Army, Navy, Marines, because he's the head of honcho. He's the chief of it all. He's making them take this this queer stuff, this LGBTQ crap, force it down their throat. The scuttlebutt is they think he's probably trying to get rid of all the really patriotic white guys, because most of the people who go in the military traditionally are white, patriots. And I know Gene can attest to that. So go ahead, Gene, you can take off on what I said, and Jason can come back and respond to you. Go ahead, Gene.
No, well, first of all, I want to commend Jason and his family for putting on the event that they're doing there at their place. That is really great that we have an opportunity to meet with our people and don't have to be looking over our shoulder and being afraid that if we say something that, you know, we're going to lose our job or whatever, but just speaking the truth. And it's so great that there are events that are put on around the country where we can actually go to and be with our people and enjoy our friendship and brotherhood and sisterhood and so forth, and not have to be afraid that we're going to be, raked across the coals by the fake news media and the prostitutes and the fake news media and everything, and be with our people. And so thank you very much for putting this on and making this opportunity for us to get together. I think that's a great thing that y'all are doing.
Appreciate it.
There's one thing I would like to ask you about. You brought up something that I think is really a serious problem. You're talking about the population replacement in this country. And I don't think it's an accident. I think it's, you look at this last week, and they were stopping all these immigrants coming in across the Texas border and just having to walk through the fence and open the gate for them. They're not just coming up from Mexico and Guatemala. They had people from Haiti, from Ghana, from Middle Eastern countries. Now, how in the world are they getting over here? I mean, they didn't walk across the Atlantic and then walk through Mexico. So don't tell me that that's not being planned and orchestrated and financed by some of these globalists to bring all these people in, and now they're putting them on airplanes and flying them out and scattering them all over the country at taxpayers' expense. So I think that thing you brought up about population replacement, and if you could expand on that a little bit, I think that is a very real threat to this country.
Yeah, and we all know this. You know, in 1965, the Hart-Celler Amendment, it was the amendment that changed the places where immigrants would be coming to the United States. And before 1965, immigrants that came into the United States all came from your white European countries. That was the actual official immigration policy. In 1965, it changed, and from there going forward, all immigrants, vast majority of it, came from your third world countries. And so that's where your population replacement started in 1965 going forward. And then as we're well aware, and I know I'm not telling anyone anything new, but since that time, not only have we been having to combat your so-called legal immigrants coming in from your third world countries, but as we've been more indoctrinated with this Marxist idea that has allowed, you know, your illegal aliens coming in from Mexico and your Central America, it's again all designed to basically ultimately outvote your white population. Your white population are the children that formed America. We love America and the great independence of America. And since that time, America has always been considered a white Christian nation, and our enemies hate that. They despise that. The first immigration laws of the United States stated that you had to be a white Christian in order to be a citizen of the United States. And so now we have a country where it's being bombarded with non-whites coming in, and as a result of that, they have no desire. They don't love America. They just basically are wanting to repopulate to a non-white country. And so, yes, now we not only have your legal immigrants, but then we have also your illegal immigration. And it is designed to replace us. I mean, anyone that can go on Facebook and Google it, you can see speeches from Joe Biden to other, you know, Jewish leaders that their desire and goal is to make America a non-white country. And it is a design. So when people say, oh, you're a conspiracy theory, it's not. It's true. It's fact. It's, you know, you can read it black and white on paper, and that is the design to repopulate America with people that do not have any resemblance of the children of America, which we identify as white people.
Well, it's the whole effort is to turn America into a third world country, where you have the population, the political elites, and the corporation elites, and just a few people at the top, no middle class, and a huge underclass that is just used for labor, like donkeys and oxen, basically.
Right.
And they just reap the profits off of that, and they have all their gated communities and compounds. You know, they say we can't build a wall across the southern border, but they sure build walls around where they live. They don't mind that at all.
Exactly.
And they don't mind
that one in Israel too.
Barbed wire fence around the Capitol to protect the nation's whorehouse there, or whatever that Capitol building was. So yeah, they don't mind fences for them, fences for me, but not for thee. I think that's
right.
Their idea.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, anybody that looks honestly at history knows it's a disaster. You know, we're told diversity is what makes us great, and it doesn't. You look at historical cultures, And when diversity takes over, it destroys the culture. The Romans thought they were doing great, bringing all these Germanic tribes and from Northern Europe, and they destroyed the Roman Empire.
Right.
Plus a lot of other things. They got lazy, sure. And they hired mercenaries to do their fighting for them. But any of those things like that, down through history, it destroys the culture. And it's already gone. I heard an interesting comparison that Ronald Reagan, when he ran for president, carried California. And they talked about how many million votes he got in California, and I can't remember the number now. But when Donald Trump ran, he got the same number of votes that Ronald Reagan got, but yet he got blown out in California. In fact, it's so bad they didn't even bother going to California to campaign. So you talk about changing demographics from when Ronald Reagan was running for president to where Donald Trump ran for president, and the demographics of California, how that's changed, and now it's spreading not only from California but all the way across the country. And
yep.
But you're so right about that population replacement. That's just an evil plan that's being carried out.
Yeah, exactly. And I believe if you look at the demographics, the white population in America is around. Now, I'm probably a little bit off. It's around like 168, 170 million people that are considered white. And so we have in America around, 300 and some million of population. So we
yeah.
have a vast population that are non-white. So when you're talking about California, yeah, you probably have the same almost number of white people that live in California with President Reagan and then with Trump. But you have all these other millions of other non-whites have moved in since that time.
Yeah, it's just, and you can campaign for conservative, do what you want to, but the demographics, well, same thing in Nashville, where I live. We just get these babbling idiots for mayors, and I'll tell you, this one clown we've got now, this Cooper, when they were having all the riots and everything, the looting going on downtown, he told the rioters and the looters to wear masks and maintain social distancing. Oh, that was brilliant. That was brilliant, talk about a brain-damaged person. So they paid him back by breaking into the courthouse and setting the courthouse on fire. So that did a lot of good, yeah. So, they've jacked up our taxes to pay for all that damage that was done. So,
yeah.
That's the mindset of places like these blue cities that are run by these idiotic liberals. That's what they do, and that's... Place like Chicago, it carries the whole state. Illinois is a red state. If you look at the maps, all the counties are red, except for Cook County right around Chicago. Well, that carries the whole state.
Right.
That's all they need to do. They don't need to, they can just write us off out here in the flower country, and as long as they control these major metropolitan areas, they've got total control.
Well, and what we've been saying for the last 20, 30 years that what we're starting seeing is a balkanization in America. You're starting to see white people moving out of these major cities. They're getting to your rural areas, and to us that's a good thing because obviously your major cities are basically becoming third rural or non-white countries. Even though they're cities, they're basically third rural cities.
Sure.
And as a result of that, you have white people, white families moving to rural areas, which I think will be eventually a good thing down the road because it will cause our people to be able to be more united in whatever happens in the future.
Yeah. I think you're definitely right there. And it's amazing to me, a lot of the Confederate projects I've worked on, in fact, this morning I was cutting grass down at Winstead Hill south of the battlefield there at Franklin, and some people were coming by, and I always enjoy talking to them and asking if they're from Tennessee. And a lot of times by the accent I can tell they're not. And we had a couple that came by and said, well, we're from California, but we're not that kind of California. We're not that kind of California.
Well, Gene and Jason, God bless you guys. We are totally out of time, and you guys have just made my life just pleasant tonight. I've really enjoyed the show as much as I possibly could. I thank y'all so much. I wish I had time, Jason. I would ask Gene if the mayor supplied those riders with masks. And if did he find them, if they didn't wear them? I wonder if any of them went to jail for not wearing their mask.
Oh, of course.
Well,
not.
Anyway, God bless you guys. I'm looking forward to getting y'all back on the show as soon as possible. I will keep in touch with both of you fellas. You know that for sure. I'll probably bug y'all too much. Well, good night, Jason. Good night, Gene.
Honored to be on. to be on with you.
Honor is mine to be on with y'all. And good night, Bethany. Good night, Blood River Radio audience. And tune in at the same time, same place next week to be the 31st. Good night, everybody.